You're listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast, where we focus on the Bible and invite you to test what is taught in light of what the Scriptures teach.
Welcome to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Soaker. We're in between Season 11 and Season 12, which will start, Lord willing, on January 15th. During the break between seasons, we're posting audio sermons each week instead of the regular episodes. The sermon for this week is titled, Where the Convenience Mentality Leads. It was preached on August 12, 2018 at the Eastside Church of Christ in Morgantown, Kentucky. As with the other lessons we post, I invite you to test what is taught in light of what the Scriptures teach. With that being said, here's this week's lesson. If you would turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 24, we're going to be looking at a passage here to start our lesson. When we look at our society today, we can see that our society values convenience. The picture on the screen is one of a cell phone, particularly a smartphone, and this is the reason why these devices are so popular is because of the value that people place on convenience. They can have one of these devices, and they can do almost anything with it. They can check their email, they can check to see what the weather forecast is in a week, they can look at directions on their phone to get from point A to point B. They can play games on their phone, they can watch videos on their phone, they can do all sorts of things on this device. And so it's a very convenient device. And so when we think about this, we understand that's why something like this is popular. It's not just because people think a phone is cool. It's because they value convenience, and this is convenient for them. Now, on one hand, something being convenient can help people be more efficient, be more productive, get more things done, have more time for things that are important. And on the other hand, something can be so convenient that it leads to laziness, it leads to dependence, where they can no longer function for themselves, where they are completely dependent upon whether it's a phone or some other convenient device that they have. And so we understand that there can be a good side or a bad side to convenience. But because our society values convenience so much, people are willing to put up with the negative aspects of it. They're willing to put up with the lack of productivity at work because people are on their phones all the time. They're willing to put up with all sorts of different things where the computer might give you a bunch of headaches, but it does other things good, so we put up with it. This mentality, though, where we think, well, we just want to have what is the most convenient thing. We want to do what is most convenient for us. This mentality, without regard to why we're trying to be more convenient, why we are pursuing these things, can be dangerous, and especially it is dangerous when we are talking about the realm of religion. Amen. We have in Acts chapter 24 the example of Felix. And Paul, as he was talking to Felix and trying to explain to him some things about what he needed to do and what was right and what God required of him, we can see that Felix was willing to listen until it got uncomfortable for him. And he put it off saying that, well, it's not convenient now for me to do what you're wanting me to do. In Acts 24 and verse 24, it says, but some days later, Felix arrived with Drusilla, his wife, who was a Jewish, and sent for Paul and heard him speak about faith in Christ Jesus. But as he was discussing righteousness and self-control and the judgment to come, Felix became frightened and said, go away for the present, and when I find time, I will summon you. Or other translations say, when I have a convenient season, I will call for you. He said, I will listen to you. And I'll consider doing what you say when it's convenient for me to do it. Now, we don't know if he ever reached that convenient season or whether he realized that he doesn't need to wait for a convenient season. He needs to be right now. More than likely, he just put this off and then never obeyed the gospel. But regardless, what we see here is an attitude when it comes to our responsibilities before God. People taking their own convenience as a factor in whether they're going to serve God or whether they are going to serve God in the way He has told them to serve Him. So this attitude, while we may have pros and cons about a smartphone or a computer or a car or any number of things. Groceries, they can be delivered to your door. There's a lot of things that are convenient in our society. And we can have pros and cons about all of those. But when we think about what we're talking about now with religion and with serving God, we need to be careful, because if we take this mentality and move it over into the realm of religion, it's going to cause problems every time. And so where is this going to lead? If we have this attitude, if we have this mentality, where does this lead when it comes to religion, when it comes to serving God? Well, that's what we're going to talk about in our lesson here today. The first thing that we see, and we can use the, we'll look at the example of Felix, but this mentality, thinking that, well, I'm going to do what's convenient for me, I'm going to look to see what is the most convenient. Well, someone with that mentality, what they're going to do is obey God only when it is convenient for them to obey God. They're willing to obey God, but not completely obey Him. Because when we think about what our responsibility is before God and we are to obey Him, God never says, I want you to do this unless you have something better to do. Or I want you to do this unless it gets in the way of something else. God has told us what He wants us to do. We need to be willing to obey God. And for those who have this mentality, if they're at this stage, they'll say, well, I'm willing to obey God, but it is done when it is convenient and when it's easy. And when it's no longer easy to obey God, when it's no longer convenient for them to obey God, they will stop obeying God. And Felix is an example of this. Felix heard Paul here in Acts chapter 24 reason with him, discuss with him about righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come. Righteousness, because Paul was telling him what he needed to do to be right with God, which would require him to exercise self-control, because he had no right, we understand from other sources, to be married to the one that he was married to. There was a judgment from God that was coming that he needed to prepare for. All of these things were meant to show Felix, you need to change your life to be right with God, to be prepared for that judgment that is coming. Paul's message was a call for him to repent and obey the gospel. And this is something that was an urgent call. You remember earlier in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 16, when the Philippian jailer, when he heard the gospel, he was baptized the same hour of the night. He didn't wait till, well, it's not convenient now. We've had this earthquake. We've got to get things settled in the jail. We need to make sure everyone's there where they're supposed to be. Surely the other officials are going to come and check on everyone, make sure everything's okay. We need to get things straightened away there. Paul didn't say, well, let's just wait until the church assembles again on the first day of the week and we'll baptize you then. It was in the same hour of the night. Why was it in the same hour of the night? Because it was urgent. It was something that needed to be done then. When we think about this idea of obeying God and thinking about, well, if we're like Felix, well, I'll do that when it's convenient. When I have a convenient season, that's when I will do it. Urgency trumps convenience. We don't want to be unprepared. Jesus told the story about in Matthew chapter 24 about the man, if he knew when the thief was coming, he would not have allowed his house to be broken into, because he would have been waiting, he would have been prepared. And the lesson is, if we knew when the Lord was coming back, if we knew when that judgment was going to be, well, we could just wait and we could just put it off and we could just not get ready. And then when we see the time coming, then, okay, now I'm going to get ready. Now I'm going to serve God. But we don't have that. God didn't tell us when the Lord is coming back. So we have to be ready at all times, because He could come at any time. This urgency trumps convenience. We need to make sure that we are doing what God wants us to do, whether it's convenient for us or not. Another example is over in Matthew chapter 19. Where you have the rich young ruler. And here with this example, you have another one who was seemed like he was eager to obey God. Felix in Acts 24, he was listening. Here is the rich young ruler. He was interested in spiritual things. But here in Matthew 19 and verse 16, it says, and someone came to him and said, Teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may obtain eternal life? And he said to him, why are you asking me about what is good? There is only one who is good. But if you wish to enter into life, keep the commandments. Then he said to him, which ones? And Jesus said, you shall not commit murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honor your father and mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. The young man said to him, all these things I have kept, what am I still lacking? Jesus said to him, if you wish to be complete, go and sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me. But when the young man heard this statement, he went away grieving, for he was one who owned much property. Here you have this rich young ruler that, as we read through this, we see he was a good man. He was interested in following the law of God. When he came to Jesus, he asked him, what do I need to do to inherit eternal life or to obtain eternal life? He was interested in spiritual things. He was interested in things beyond this life. And so we look at what he is asking about, and we look at his answers to Jesus, that, well, all these things I've kept from my youth. He was a good man. He was someone who was interested in what was right and interested in spiritual things. He appeared, by all outward appearances, he appeared to be faithful to God. But Jesus knew his heart. You know, if we encounter this person, we could see, well, this person, he's trying to do what's right. He's trying to serve God. He's an example for people to follow. Jesus knew his heart. Jesus knew that he was materialistic, because when he told him, go and sell your possessions and give to the poor and you'll have treasure in heaven and come follow me, he doesn't tell everyone to do that. We're not told in the New Testament that all of Jesus' followers are to sell their possessions and give to the poor. We are to help as we have opportunity, but he never says to all of us, go and sell your possessions. Why did he tell this man to do it? Because those things had a hold on him. He was materialistic. Jesus said in Matthew 6 and verse 24 that no man can serve two masters. Well, he was serving two masters. He had another God. Exodus 20 and verse 3 in the Ten Commandments, God says, you shall have no other gods before me. Jesus mentioned some of the Ten Commandments here to him. Well, the first one, you shall have no other gods before me. Well, this young man did. He was thinking that those his riches, those things of this life, that was important to him. And when he had to make the choice between serving God and serving that other God, he had a hard decision to make, and he went away grieving, for he was one who owned much property. We need to seek the things of God first. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. This young man, he was thinking, well, I can serve God, I can do all these things, but I can still pursue and still treat these material possessions that I have, treat them as a God. I can focus on those things and I can fit God in where and when it's convenient. But we need to make sure that God is first. And if there is something that is hindering us, for this young man, it was his material possessions. For us, it could be something else. It could be that. It could be a job. It could be some hobby. It could be friends that we have. It could be any number of things that are hindering us in our service to God. The point that Jesus is making here that we see from this is that we need to be willing to give up anything to follow God. This young man wasn't willing to do that. He was willing to obey the commandments. He was willing to do those things that were comfortable for him to do. But when it came to something difficult, that wasn't convenient for him anymore. And rather than obeying the Lord, he went away grieving because he didn't want to give up his possessions. So this idea, this convenience mentality where we want to do the thing or obtain those things that make life convenient for us, if we take this over in the realm of religion, what this is going to do, it's going to cause us to obey God when it's convenient for us to obey God. But if it's not convenient, then we're going to do something else. We're going to find something else that we would rather do, or something that would be easier to do. And so we'll only obey God when it's convenient. Then if you look over in Genesis chapter 4, if you turn back there, another way that this manifests itself is that we can alter God's commands in order to be more convenient for us. And in this case, just like with the first example, where we obey God only when it's convenient, those people, just like the rich young ruler, he appeared to be righteous. He appeared to be doing good. But he was only doing that as long as it was easy to do it. Once it became difficult, once he had to give things up, once Felix had to make some serious changes in his life, they didn't want to listen anymore. This is a little bit different, but it's related to that. But these ones that we're talking about here are those who, rather than obeying God up to the point and stopping when it's inconvenient for them to go further, these ones will alter God's commands, change what God has said in order to be more convenient for them. They will, like the others, appear to be obeying God, but they've changed his instructions based on their preferences, based on what's convenient for them, based on what they want, what's easy for them. They will change God's instructions. So on the outside, they, again, appear to be religious, appear to be interested in spiritual things, but they've changed what God has said. Here in Genesis chapter 4, we have the example of Cain. And he was one who, as we read here, we're not given a lot of details, but we're given enough information that we can see this was what happened with Cain as he and his brother Abel were offering sacrifices to God. In verse 1, it says, "Now the man had relations with his wife Eve, and she conceived and gave birth to Cain. And she said, 'I've gotten a man-child with the help of the Lord.' Again, she gave birth to his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of flocks, and Cain was a tiller of the ground. So it came about in the course of time that Cain brought an offering to the Lord of the fruit of the ground. Abel, on his part, also brought of the first things of his flock and of their fat portions, and the Lord had regard for Abel and for his offering. But for Cain and for his offering he had no regard. So Cain became very angry, and his countenance fell. Then the Lord said to Cain, 'Why are you angry, and why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will not your countenance be lifted up? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door, and its desire is for you, but you must master it.'" We look here at Cain, and we see the contrast between Cain and his brother Abel. Abel, we read in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4, offered his sacrifice by faith. To offer a sacrifice by faith means that it was in accordance with God's instructions, because we know Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So while we don't, as we read Genesis chapter 4, we don't see what God specifically commanded them. We don't have that recorded. But what we do know from what the scriptures tell us is that if they were offering sacrifices and God was pleased with one and not the other, one was offered by faith and the other was not, it means that the one that was offered by faith was following the instructions that God had given. Regardless of what those instructions were, they're not recorded for us, but we do know Abel was following God's instructions because his offering was by faith. Now, what was it that caused his to be right, besides saying, well, it was God's instructions that he was following? But why was it right, and why was Cain's sacrifice wrong? Well, we don't know what specifically God commanded. It could be that Cain should have offered an animal rather than the fruit of the ground. It could be that he was wrong simply because he offered, Abel said he offered of the first of his flock, and Cain didn't say he offered the first of the fruit of the ground. But regardless of the reason, regardless if it was one or both of those or something else, what we know is that Abel offered it by faith, which meant he followed God's instructions, and Cain offered something different. He did not follow God's instructions. What we see here is that you have someone like Cain, and why did he offer what he did? Obviously, he believed in God. Obviously, he wanted to present an offering to God. Why did he offer what he did? Why not? If it was an animal that was required, why not obtain an animal so he could offer that? If it was the first of whatever was produced for Abel, a lamb of the flock, or for Cain, the fruit of the ground, if it was the first that was required, why not offer the first? If it was an animal that was of the first, again, why not obtain that so you have the right sacrifice? Well, that would have been more work. He would have had to go through more effort. Regardless of which of those was the reason why Abel's was accepted and Cain's was not, it would have taken more work on Cain's part than to just come and bring some of the fruit of the ground and offer that to God. It was easier for him to do that. much easier for him because he was already gathering these things in. He was already working and producing that fruit. It would have been easier for him just take some of what he gathered in and offer that to God. That was convenient. That was what was the easy thing to do, but it's not what God wanted him to do. God wants us to follow his instructions, to offer by faith as Abel did. Remember the account of Nadab and Abihu in Leviticus chapter 10, that they were killed because they offered strange fire which God had not commanded them. Well, maybe they thought it was easier to get the fire where they got it from. Maybe they thought, well, this is, you know, just seems like a good idea for us. Maybe it would be they would have to go through more trouble to get the fire from where it was supposed to come from. They might have said, well, it's easier for us to do this. But it was not accepted by God. We are not to change worship for our sake. We are to worship God according to his instructions and what he has told us to do. Then in Malachi chapter 1, another example of this, of those who would alter God's commands in order to accommodate them, in order to be easier for them. In Malachi chapter 1, you have the people of Malachi's day. This is what they were doing. And they were being rebuked by God through the prophet Malachi for this. And in Malachi 1 and verse 6, it says, "A son honors his father and a servant his master. Then if I am a father, where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is my respect? Says the Lord of hosts to you. O priests who despise my name, but you say, how have we despised your name? You are presenting defiled food upon my altar, but you say, how have we defiled you? In that you say, the table of the Lord is to be despised. But when you present the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And when you present the lame and sick, is it not evil? Why not offer it to your governor? Would he be pleased with you? Or would he receive you kindly, says the Lord of hosts? But now will you not entreat God's favor that he may be gracious to us? With such an offering on your part, will he receive any of you kindly, says the Lord of hosts? Oh, that there were one among you who would shut the gates, that you would not uselessly kindle fire on my altar. I am not pleased with you, says the Lord of hosts, nor will I accept an offering from you. For from the rising of the sun even to its setting, my name will be great among the nations, and in every place incense is going to be offered to my name, and a grain offering that is pure, for my name will be great among the nations, says the Lord of hosts. But you are profaning it, in that you say the table of the Lord is defiled, as for its fruit, its food is to be despised. You also say, my, how tiresome it is. And you disdainfully sniff at it, says the Lord of hosts. And you bring what was taken by robbery and what is lame or sick, so you bring your offering. Should I receive that from your hand, says the Lord of hosts?" We look through all of these things and you see God was not pleased with their sacrifices. They were offering these animals. It was not what God's instructions were. God had given them instructions as far as what they were to offer. They were to offer animals that were without blemish. They were to offer animals that met God's standards. Well, they were offering just anything that they wanted to. And the key verse here, I think, is verse 13 of the attitude. Why were they doing that? Why were they bringing the lame? Why were they bringing these sick animals to them, to the Lord, to offer these sacrifices? Verse 13, they were saying, my, how tiresome it is. It was too much work, at least in their minds. They thought, well, this is just too hard to do what God wants us to do. So we need to do something different. He wants us to offer these animals without blemish. Well, it's too hard to find an animal like that. We're just going to find some other animal. We're going to change this and then act like, well, you know, how have we dishonored you? How have we defiled the table? How have we not served you? They had changed God's commands, convinced themselves that what they were doing was right. But they changed God's commands in order to do something that was easier for them. We need to understand, verse 13, they're saying, my, how tiresome it is. On one hand, it is true that it takes effort to serve God acceptably. That it is, if we're going to serve God as he wants us to, it is going to be something that requires work on our part and requires effort on our part. We shouldn't have the attitude that they did and say, well, how tiresome it is, so I'm going to do something else. Or I'm going to change what God has told me to do, just do something that's easier for me. But it does take effort to serve the Lord. It does take effort on our part to do what He has told us to do. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 3, the Hebrew writer says here, "For consider Him," talking about Jesus, "consider Him who has endured such hostility by sinners against Himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." It's possible to grow weary because we are laboring for the Lord. It takes effort to serve Him. Serving God acceptably means that we are going to be working for Him. It's not about what's most convenient for us. Think, well, you know, these animals are just going to die anyway, so I'm going to offer that to God. Well, that's convenient, but it's not what God wants. We cannot change God's commands and change what He has said. To offer that animal without blemish, well, no, it can be one with a blemish. No, don't change God's commands. Don't offer what is easier to offer if it's different from what God said. And we meet on the first day of the week to observe the Lord's Supper and to do other things. Well, why do we meet on the first day of the week to do that? Because that's what God said. Now, we can come up with a convenient time on the first day of the week for all of us to get here, and we can do that. But what if we said that, well, it'd be more convenient if we met on Saturday evening to eat the Lord's Supper? It'd just be easier for us to do that. Some churches, even some churches of Christ, have started doing that. Well, that's just more convenient. Well, that's different from, let's say we're going to offer the Lord's Supper at 11 and we're going to change it to 10 o'clock in the morning. You can do that. You can accommodate the local church and the members there. But we say, well, it's more convenient for us to just meet on Saturday evening, and then we'll have the Lord's Supper then, because it's just too hard to get out of bed on Sunday morning, or we just have other things to do on Sunday and we don't want to do that, so we'll do it on Saturday night. Well, now you're changing the commandments of God, altering God's commands so that it is more convenient for us. That's where this mentality leads. Then if you look over in 1 Kings chapter 12, this mentality where we're looking for what is most convenient for us in the realm of when we think about what we are doing in service to God, what this can also lead to is forsaking God altogether because we want something more convenient. And this thing that we are forsaking God for could be something religious, that we're going to worship, we're going to do that in some other way. Or it could be something irreligious, that, well, it's just more convenient for me to be, you know, whatever, engaged in this type of business or doing this other thing over here. It's more convenient for me to do that. This is unlike the others. The others were, well, we'll serve God until it's not convenient anymore to serve God. Or we'll serve God or act like we're serving God, but we're going to change the commands to what's more convenient for us. Here, these are ones that are not serving God, and they're not even appearing or attempting to appear as though they are serving God. An example of this is in 1 Kings chapter 12 with Jeroboam and his appeal to the people. And this is after the kingdom was divided. And so you have the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. And verse 25 of 1 Kings 12 says, "Then Jeroboam built Shechem in the hill country of Ephraim and lived there. And he went out from there and built Penuel. Jeroboam said in his heart, 'Now the kingdom will return to the house of David. If this people go up to offer sacrifices in the house of the Lord at Jerusalem, then the heart of this people will return to their Lord, even to Rehoboam, king of Judah, and they will kill me and return to Rehoboam, king of Judah.'" Well, why was he thinking that they would go to Jerusalem to offer sacrifices? Well, the reason why he thought they would do that is because that was what they were instructed to do. That was what the law of Moses required. And so this is, you know, he recognized that, well, they're going to go there. Well, that wasn't convenient for him. He didn't want them to go there. He had selfish motives. And he was saying that, well, if they're going to go down there, they're going to follow Rehoboam again. They'll kill me. And so he didn't want that to happen. So what does he do? He knows what God's commands are. He knows the people are going to want to follow God's commands. Verse 28, "The king consulted and made two golden calves. And he said to them, 'It is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Behold your gods, O Israel, that brought you up from the land of Egypt.' He set one in Bethel and he put the other in Dan. Now this thing became a sin, for the people went to worship before the one as far as Dan. And he made houses on high places and made priests from among all the people who were not of the sons of Levi. Jeroboam instituted a feast in the 8th month on the 15th day of the month, like the feast which is in Judah. And he went up to the altar, thus he did in Bethel, sacrificing to the calves which he had made. And he stationed in Bethel the priests of the high places which he had made. Then he went up to the altar which he had made in Bethel on the 15th day of the 8th month, even in the month which he had devised in his own heart, that he instituted a feast for the sons of Israel, and went up to the altar to burn incense. He had selfish motives. He wanted the kingdom to remain loyal to him. The tribes that had split off from the tribe of Judah, where Rehoboam was ruling, he wanted to keep them following him. And so he wanted to come up with something that the people would follow. The people, you know, they couldn't go to Jerusalem to worship. And he didn't go, you know, try to say, well, you can worship God, but just worship him here. He said, well, I'm just going to make up these other gods. I'm going to make these two golden calves, put them in Dan and Bethel, and say that they are the ones that brought you out of Egypt. Not the God of heaven. Not the one that we read about in the Old Testament. But these golden calves, they are your gods. They brought you out of Egypt. He tried to just eliminate God altogether. And he made priests out of all the people, not just the sons of Levi, because he's no longer following the law of God. But notice what he appealed to in verse 28. He said, it is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. It's just too much work for you to do that. It's too much effort for you to do that. It's too far for you to go to Jerusalem. You could just go to Bethel, or you could just go to Dan. It would be much easier, much more convenient, for you to stay where you are and worship these gods and not have to go to Jerusalem. He appealed to their desire for convenience. When we look at the Bible, we see that God accepts us as we obey him. Jesus said in Matthew 7, verse 21, that the one who does the will of the Father will be able to enter the kingdom of heaven. Well, what if we don't obey? Well, we don't enter the kingdom of heaven. We don't get that reward. But what if it's more convenient? What if it's just too far to go to Jerusalem? What if we just go to Bethel instead? What if we just stay in Dan? What if we don't offer sacrifices to the Lord, but offer these sacrifices to these two golden calves? What if we do that? You're not obeying God anymore. You're not following God. You've forsaken God now, because now you're worshiping these other gods. But this can happen. People will say, well, it's just too hard or too far or too much work or it's too difficult for me to serve the Lord. And so I'm just going to do something else. I'm just going to follow some other path, some other direction in my life. I'm not going to serve God anymore. And so this mentality can lead people to forsake God altogether, because they are interested in what's convenient for them. If we are going to serve the Lord, we need to be willing to do what is inconvenient. It is not about what is most convenient for us, but if we're serving the Lord, it is about what he wants us to do. Romans 12 and verse 1 says that we are presenting our bodies as a living sacrifice to him. When you think about those animals that were offered, whether it was the acceptable sacrifices, the ones without blemish, or even if you look at Malachi 1 and they're offering the lame and the sick and they're offering those animals, if those animals could talk, and I know they can't, if those animals could talk, do you think they would say, well, it's a convenient thing for me to go on this altar and be killed? That wasn't convenient for them. The animal's thoughts or feelings, if they had any, weren't taken into consideration. It was about obeying God. God said, this is the sacrifice that I want you to offer, and so you offer this sacrifice. Romans 12:1 says, we are presenting ourselves as a living sacrifice. So it's not, well, God's going to ask us, well, is this convenient for you to do this? Or is this okay if I ask you to do this or if I tell you to do this? It's not about what we want. It's not about us saying that, well, I can do this, but I can't do this, or I'll do this much, but then I won't do the other things over here. We are presenting ourselves as a living sacrifice. We are offering ourselves to God. We are serving the Lord and not ourselves. If you look over in Luke chapter 9, couple verses here in this chapter I want us to look at. One that cite fairly regularly, Luke 9, verse 23. We think about who it is that we're serving and whether we are serving God when it's convenient or when it's inconvenient. Luke 9, 23, Jesus said to them all, "If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." Not do that when it's on those convenient days for you to do that. Like Felix said, "Well, when I find time, when I have a convenient season, then I'll call you." It's not about when you have a convenient season. It's about doing it now. It's about taking up your cross daily and following him. If you look over in Luke 9 at the end of the chapter, beginning in verse 57, it says there, as they were going along the road, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "The foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." And he said to another, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, permit me first to go and bury my father." But he said to him, "Allow the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim everywhere the kingdom of God." Another also said, "I will follow you, Lord, but first permit me to say goodbye to those at home." Jesus said to him, "No one, after putting his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." These ones that Jesus is talking to here, they said, "Well, let me do this other thing first. Let me first go back home. Let me first bury the dead." And the first one, the first individual here says, "Lord, I'll follow you wherever you go." Jesus explained to him, "You need to understand, it's not always going to be the easiest thing for you to do to follow me. It's not always going to be the most convenient. Following Christ is not going to be always convenient. It's not about what we want. It's about what he wants and what he desires and what fulfills his purpose and his mission. We are serving him and not ourselves." Over in the book of Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 11, we have the examples of those who were willing to do what was not convenient for them to do. These ones who we typically think of, those who are the heroes of faith. And we see what they did. Now, there were a lot of examples in here. We're not going to notice all of them. But notice what just a few of these examples. Look at Noah in verse 7. "By faith, Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen, in reverence prepared an ark for the salvation of his household, by which he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness which is according to faith." Now, it would have been a lot easier for Noah just to not ever build the ark at all. There was a lot of work to build the ark. Even with his sons and even have his wife and his sons' wives helping, even if you had extra help there, it's still not easy to do what he did. It was not convenient for him to have to build this ark. But that's what he did, and he saved his household in doing that. You look at Abraham in verse 8. "By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he lived as an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. For he was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God." Abraham was willing to leave his home, leave his people, and go to the place where God was leading him. Well, it would have been a lot easier to stay where he was. It would have been a lot easier to stay with his household there, especially during that time period. A lot of times now you have people move halfway across the country and not think anything of it. Well, it's a lot bigger deal to be separated from your family than it is even now. Those family ties then were a lot stronger than they are even now. He was willing to give all of that up. He was willing to leave what was familiar to him and to go where he didn't know where he was going. Moses, you look at his example in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24. "By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, considering the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward." Again, it would have been easier just to stay in Pharaoh's household. It would have been easier just to enjoy the riches of Egypt. But he was willing to do what was not convenient for him. We won't take time to read it, but you look at verses 32 through 38, you look at all of those Old Testament faithful and what they did and how they were persecuted, how they were killed, and all the things they had to endure. It would have been a lot easier for them to just blend in with the world and not have to go through all of those things and not have to endure that ill treatment and the suffering, the torture, and the death. That was not convenient for them to do that. And over in Matthew chapter 19, we looked earlier at this chapter when we looked at the rich young ruler. And you look at Jesus' disciples here at the end. Verse 27, Peter said to him, "Behold, we have left everything and followed you. What then will there be for us?" They were willing to do what was inconvenient. They were willing to leave their homes. They were willing to follow Jesus wherever he was leading them. There was going to be a reward for them. But they had to be willing to do what was inconvenient. And so when we think about what we've talked about now, with the examples that we've looked at, and we consider the day and age in which we live, where everyone is looking to see what is the most convenient thing we can have, the most convenient thing that we can do, the most efficient process we can put in place to accomplish what we want to accomplish, we need to understand that our primary purpose is serving God and doing His will. And it doesn't matter how convenient or inconvenient it is for us. Our purpose is serving God. Now, if we will do that, it's going to be worth it in the end. We may have to face hardships now. We may have to make difficult decisions now. But it is going to be worth it in the end. Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, Jesus talked about the narrow way, the difficult way. But that is the way that leads to life. And we need to make sure that that is the choice that we make. Present ourselves as a living sacrifice to God and be willing to do His will in all things. And so as we close the lesson, if you are here and subject to the invitation, whether you need to obey the gospel because you've never done that, well, being a Christian isn't always easy. Being a Christian isn't always about what's convenient. We've talked about that tonight. But if you are willing to make that commitment, that you recognize Jesus as the Christ, and because of that you want to serve Him, you're ready to make that commitment. You believe that He is the Christ. Repent of your sins and confess your faith. You can be baptized to have your sins washed away. If you've done that and have sinned against the Lord, then you need to repent of that and pray to God and ask Him to forgive you. But if you're subject to the invitation in any way, we invite you to come forward as we stand and sing.
Thank you for listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. If you have any questions or comments, please visit plainbibleteaching.com. While you're there, be sure to sign up for the Plain Bible Teaching weekly newsletter. This free newsletter contains articles, audio, sermon outlines, current events, and more. Also, if you found this episode to be helpful, please share it with others.